more practice. Notice a good hymn, that's a scriptural song, that them verses that you're singing, you know, God's word has recorded in the prophets. And it's a prophecy, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we often think of it that the feet sometime are the most despised part of the body. But it was the feet on the men, or even of our Saviour Jesus Christ when he walked this earth. You know, the woman came and she washed his feet with the tears, and dried his feet with the hairs of her head, because the feet was the bit that got all the dust and all the dirt, perhaps the most despised part of the body. You know, Brother Branham preached a sermon about it, and he said about that woman, and he talked about the foot junkie, I think he called them, you know, because it was a low job that the person had at washing the feet. But how lovely were those feet that brought the gospel of good news to every city that went forward with me. But we'll sing one more chorus, let us stand our feet, and then Tommy's going to come this evening. I'll bring them Sing another verse, I'm gonna stay right under the plug of the devil and do me.
Evening, and it's good to come and gather in the name of the Lord. And I was thinking, you know, some people maybe think it's a waste of time coming fellowship, but I was thinking the night coming along the road, it was coming to service, if you went and prayed by yourself for the Lord, it wouldn't be a waste of time. It would be time well spent. And then if you went to church and prayed with other believers, it would be time well spent. There's no such thing as wasting your time when you're praying. It's not possible to do it. And the Bible tells us so much about praying. And I want to talk about praying tonight. And I want to try and encourage everyone here tonight on prayer. And we know the Lord is coming soon. Signs everywhere. And I tried on Sunday morning to give us a stir that we would have a sincerity about us to pray for our own loved ones. We want to see them saved. Amen. And you know, if you never seen nobody saved, only your own son or daughter or a relation, wouldn't it be wonderful to see somebody saved? It's the most and blessed important thing to see somebody saved. Let's turn to James tonight. James chapter 5, and please you remember also keep my auntie Eileen in prayer. I was telling her earlier today, and they think she might have arthritis in her knee. She's waiting on an x-ray, and I know she appreciates the prayers. There's still a lot of pain in her knee, and let's just pray the Lord will touch her, and the Lord can heal arthritis. And you know, we've seen people heal of arthritis before, and diabetes and different things. And the Lord can definitely do it for Sister Eileen, praise God. Let's read verse 16 of James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So when people say it's God's will to pray for healing, well, the Bible tells us to do it. The factual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. Let's bow our heads this evening. And if you have a need, well, every head's bowed and every head closed, just raise your hand up before the Lord tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we can approach you, a holy God, because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the songs we've been singing tonight, and that we're able to come and worship you, Lord, and praise you. And Lord, we do give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we ask you to wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb tonight. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Cleanse us in your blood. Fill us afresh, everyone, with the Holy Ghost, we pray. That's your mark. We want to have your mark upon us, the Holy Ghost. The approval of God. Sealed be your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray for the hands raised this evening. Father, we bring our petitions before you. And we know that you hear and answer prayer. And Lord, we pray that you'll answer the prayer of that brother, that sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift before you beyond the island this evening, Lord, and I pray sincerely for your mighty touch upon her body. Touch her knee. We curse arthritis in Jesus' mighty name. And we speak health and strength upon her. And the pain will go out of her, and strength will come upon her, and healing and virtue. And she'll begin to feel good and be good. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless the wives that couldn't come tonight, and all the children, and perhaps maybe some working, Lord, and the nurses, doctors. Bless every one of them. And Father, we pray that you'll just have your way in all of our lives and in the meetings, that your name will be uplifted and glorified. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to just read a statement with a man called Robert Murray. I don't know if anybody's ever read any of his stuff. He's wrote a wonderful, loads of different books. Wrote a tremendous book on the blood of Jesus Christ. What a man is in his prayer closet is what he is. This is what he says. No Christian is greater than his prayer life, and his prayer life can be no more greater than his personal life. I'm not saying we have to be super saints or heroes of holiness, but we cannot divorce our living from our prayer. God wants us to pray. We can look, you know, preaching, witnessing to the lost and all them things, we're to do that. And we can have a person-to-person encounters, but praying is a person having an encounter with God. So it's not a person-to-person encounter with you and me, but it's you or me having a personal encounter with God. That's praying. Praying is us praying to God. And you know, some people, you can say things to them and it goes in one ear and out the other, and that can happen a lot. And one old preacher used to say that they'd cuffed in the ear and the wax knocked out. That's what he used to say. An American preacher, they need their ears cuffed, a gospel cuff, and the wax knocked out. That's the way he used to talk. He's a rough preacher. But God hears us. God hears our prayer. And from the first time we pray, and whether our prayer is from the heart in silence, or whether it's out loud, God hears it. Isn't that amazing? You could be thinking, praying. You could be praying in absolute silence, thinking it. Have you ever did that and God's answered it? That's how God can do it. God wants us to be fervent in prayer. We can't fake it with God. What we are when we are alone with God is what we are. God wants us to spend time with Him. Now, some people think, you know, if things are not going the way they think they should be, it's a waste of time. And you know, when people talk to you like that, it can get you discouraged, can't it? But I want to encourage you tonight. It's never a waste of time to pray and seek God. Never. Whether it's here in church or whether it's in your secret, your bedroom, the side of your bed, driving your car, washing the dishes, anywhere you can pray, and God will hear you. For the Bible says His ear is ever open to their cry. That means it's never closed. It's always open. God always hears us when we pray. Praise God. Thank God for that tonight. Now the Bible says here, the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now the thing that makes us righteous is not our own, but it's Romans 4. It's the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we accept what He done for us, He doesn't impute to us our sin, but Romans tells us He imputes, which means imparted to us, His righteousness. So it's the Lord's righteousness that's our righteousness, for we have none of our own. We don't have any of our own. We need His. How many knows that? None is good, no, not one. But the Lord's righteousness is our righteousness when we receive it and accept it. And He wants us to have fervent prayer. Now, fervent prayer means impassioned. You ever get somebody that's passionate about anything? And I tell you, when somebody's passionate about someone, it could be anything at all. Boy, they'd argue about it, wouldn't they? If they're really passionate about it. They're zealous about it. Whether it's a football team or it could be anything. And there's so many different examples, but passionate, forceful. And the Bible talks about prayers, violent prayers, gripping heaven. Many's ever heard of that? The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, violence taken it before. There's forceful praying. And God wants fervent, forceful, passionate prayers. And sometimes we get moved and we get excited and we really get into the praying. That's good. Don't ever be embarrassed for that. That's a good thing. The Lord wants that. Fervent praying. Fervent prayer. Heartfelt prayer. Powerful prayer. Wholehearted prayer. That's what fervent means. Wholeheartedly. God doesn't want a half-hearted prayer. He wants you to give a wholehearted prayer. So that when you pray, you're really believing it. It's not a half-hearted thing. You know, do you ever say, you know, that boy done that, but it was half-hearted. I'm sure you've heard that saying. But then somebody does it and it's wholehearted. They're really into it. He done it with passion. Do you ever hear that? He done it with passion. Really into it. And God wants us to come and pray fervent prayers, wholeheartedly, that we're believing that God's going to do it. So when we pray for somebody to get saved, we need to believe they're going to get saved. Claim them for God. Tell them they're going to get saved. Don't be afraid to tell them. Not the first time I've told somebody, I'm going to pray in, you're going to come. And God brought them. But you need to believe it. You don't need to just say it for the sake of it. You need to really be convicted yourself that it's real. That God actually can do it. And if God can save me or you, God can save anybody. Amen. That's the thing. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord. He can save anybody. And the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. This means not a half-hearted prayer, which will accomplish little, but a wholehearted prayer, which will accomplish much. That's what a wholehearted prayer will do. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Look at verse 17 and 18 of James chapter 5. And then we'll look at a couple of examples. And I just want to try and encourage you tonight. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not in the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months. So this wasn't just a week or a month. 3.5 years is a brief while. That it never rained. Because this man of God prayed earnestly. Fervently. Amen. Earnestly. Prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not in the earth for the space of 3 years or 6 months. And he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. You know, you could read through it and you know what he said. He said, there'll be no rain till I ask for it. How many knows he said that? That's confidence. People say, well, he's boastful. That can be confidence in God. And Elijah had that confidence because he knew God. He knew God. And he said, it'll come when I ask for it. I like that. I like somebody like that. When people say, it can not happen. And a man of God says, well, it's going to happen. Amen. And you know, when revivals came, when you read history and read when revivals came, revivals didn't come when things were slow and wonderful. The church wasn't going through a blessed time when revival came. Revival came in the hour of desperation. Revival came when it seemed its darkest, its weariest, when nothing was happening. That's when revival came. When people got real and fervent with God in prayer. And I'm going to tell you another thing. God leads into prayer. I believe we need to pray that God leads us into deeper prayer. How many believes that? Intercessory prayer. And you know, if you go through your own life, and I'm sure you'll agree, there's times when God leads you into prayer. And you might always be able to pray like that. There's seasons when God can lead you into special times of prayer. And I believe we really need a season of prayer now. I believe that. But God's people need a real stirring. And we need seasons of prayer where God will move. And when people say, God can't move, we believe that God can move. Look over with me to 1 Kings. And 1 Kings, let's go to chapter 17 and let's read from verse 1. And this is Elijah, and he tells Ahab it's not going to rain. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of the Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain. Now that's even better than the other one I read. I like that even better than not even with dew. So in Genesis, before the flood, there was a dew that watered the earth. But here's Elijah saying there'll not even be dew. No water at all. Now that's a famine of lack of water. That's a drought, isn't it? A real drought. Praise God. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be neither dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now there's a man who knew who he was and he knew who God was. It's not what I often say, it's a phrase I often use. God wants you to know who you are, and he wants you to know who he is. Now I want you to think of that for a moment. And Elijah had that experience. Elijah knew who God was and he knew who he was. He was certainly a prophet. You say, we are to know who we are. Well, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're redeemed. And the word redeemed means bought back. You belong to the Lord. You're the Lord's. What's that mean? I'll tell you what that means. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright before him. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Even if thy soul does prosper, that's what it means. You're the Lord's. And then knowing who God is, who's God? God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability and supernatural authority. He's super. He's not just a nobody or a special person. He's beyond all that. He's more than that. He's Almighty God. Not just God, Almighty God. He's the one that spoke and the world came. He framed the world in nothing. It's not what it says. Hung the stars where they are. Everything we look at in creation glorifies God. And its excellence and beauty. We can't comprehend it. That God's that wonderful. This is a supernatural God Elijah knew. And I believe God's reminding me and you tonight that we need to know who we are, and then we need to know who God is. When you actually start to think who the God you serve and I serve is, he's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sekenu. Well, you go into all them names of God, and every one of them means someone. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm your provider, the strong-breasted one, El Shaddai. The Prince of Peace, the bright, the morning star. He's all them things. Then he says, we need to know who we are. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God wants you to identify who you are. You're the Lord's. The devil doesn't own you. The Lord owns you. That's why, you know, a lot of times we say things wrong. If we have a condition and we call it whatever it is, my, whatever that condition is, not, God didn't give you it. That's the enemy. Sickness came because of sin. And the Bible tells in Galatians, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from it. We have a right to ask God for healing. We have a right to it. Because he says, by my stripes ye were healed. We have a right. 1 Peter 2:24. He his own self bare our sins on the tree, that we've been dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. F.F. Bosworth says that when you look at the devil, you need to look at him as defeated already. Jesus Christ already conquered him. He's defeated. He's defeated already for you. Why? Think of who he is and who you are now. Greater is he that's in you. Who's in you? The Lord. The Lord's in you. That's what the Bible says. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're really born again, the Lord's with you. He's in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now we know who's in the world tonight, the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians tells us that the spirit that now worketh, and that word means energizes, and the children of disobedience, among whom all we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, but God's redeemed us, and he's in us tonight. And he wants us to pray effectual prayers. And here we see Elijah tells him, there's going to be no dew nor rain till I ask for it. Isn't that confidence? Amen. Don't ever be alarmed if a brother claims something or makes an outlandish statement when he's praying. If that brother or sister believes it, you say, amen. Say, so be it. Why not? The God of Elijah. Elijah believed it, and he said, look over in chapter 18. And if you go over in chapter 18, you'll see the drought was punishment for Israel's worship of Baal. God brought judgment in Israel, and if you read down from chapter 18, verse 16, because they worshipped Baal, God punished them. Now we're living in a world today that's trusting in things that's not God. And everybody is trusting in science today. Now think of this for a moment. And you say, why do you keep harping on about it? Well, why not? I'm sure when you turn the news on, I'm not going to name it tonight, but you're sick listening to it. I know you are. And it's going to get worse. Many's heard that. It's going to get worse. The devil told me the other day things was going to get worse. They weren't looking good. They're going to get worse. You see, if the Lord took me now, it's great, it's good. I'll go to be with the Lord. Yeah. Amen. There's a wee man I know, and he's called Reggie Beggs. I don't know if anybody here knows wee Reggie. But I'll tell you, Reggie left a testimony. He was saved. Great wee man. I worked with him years ago, and he has his pipes. I was only about 18 when I worked with Reggie, and Reggie was a real Christian man. And a friend of mine said, Reggie's went on. Now, Reggie must be about 90. Reggie's a brave age of a man. And I said, praise God, he's been promoted. Streets of gold into the presence of the Savior. He lived the gospel. He left a testimony. All the time I knew him and met him, he had a real testimony that he was saved. He didn't even need to preach to you. You just knew he was a believer. And he knew his Bible. He lived for the Lord. And he influenced a lot of young people. And one of them people he influenced is a sort of an evangelist today. And he does a lot on Reggie, the big influence on him as a young man. And you know the influence with the pigeons and bounties and stuff like that. He said it was bad work, it wasn't. Because all the other boys were out in the pubs. Well, that boy was looking at a pigeon or a bounty. He wasn't in the pub. And that man the day wins souls for the Lord that Reggie influenced. Reggie influenced him. And he didn't just influence him with pigeons and bounties and stuff like that nature, but he got him to read his Bible, pray. He influenced him. And you know, we want to influence somebody. If our funeral was tomorrow, what would people say about us? Do you ever think of that? What would they think about you? What would they think about me? You say I couldn't care less. But the thing is, you could influence somebody a good way or a bad way. And everybody I know that knew Reggie, he influenced them, and they knew that man was saved. They knew it. He had a good influence. The Lord promoted him. You know, when somebody's promoted, it's a time of celebration, really, if we're real Christians. That the Lord's, he went home to be with the Savior. And then we're going to see him again one day. But here, let's take this reading up at verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? So in chapter 17, he says, what I tell you, boy, there's no rain coming or dew that I ask for it. Now here in chapter 18, he's a fellow that troubles him. But this was a good trouble. This was God witnessing against Baal, wasn't it? Amen. Who doesn't want trouble like that? I think your brother Gary's prayed it before, may we trouble the devil. If you're not troubling, there's something wrong. Does he ever get somebody to ring you? And there's nothing good to tell you. You ever done that way? And it's all just a downward spiral. And this is not happening, and something else is not happening. And you see, if he went by that there, you wouldn't get out of your bed in the morning. You'd be far better, like Wigglesworth, through the quilt bath early in the morning and get out and dance around the fair for an hour or so and spoke in tongues. Amen! I guarantee you, if somebody was ringing you, they wouldn't be living like that, and they wouldn't ring you like that. Isn't that the truth? Amen! Wigglesworth started the day right, didn't he? Now, no, maybe we all don't do it. I'm not telling you, I jump out at 6 in the morning. And Dad's friend of 4. I'm for an hour. If I don't. But there's people that do it. You know, I stand for 2 men. And I'm going to tell you who they are. John Noble, Brian Freeborn. Both of them. And John stayed in Brian's house as well. There's never a morning that man spends an hour. Every morning. As soon as he gets up, praying. Every morning. It's not the truth, brother. John Noble was the same. I heard ministers ridiculing John Noble, and I stayed with them ministers, and I never hardly seen them praying. They hardly would have prayed over their lunch. That's the truth. Every morning, John Noble, you had never been up before him, and when you found him, he is praying. And there's one thing he's will agree with, and John Noble's preached in our meetings, there was an anointing on him. How many believe that? There was a quickening when he preached. He was a teacher, but it wasn't a dead duck message. There was quickening wet because he waited on God. And I tell you, God wants us to pray. There's a strength in praying. You never can pray too much. Let me read you on with this. Verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, he the trouble of Israel. Verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. So in other words, you're the problem, not me. That's what he's telling them. Amen. Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. Thou therefore send and gather me, O Israel, on the Mount Carmel, and the province of Baal, 450, and the province of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. This is victory in Mount Carmel, verse 20. So Ahab sent on all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets. And you know the whole story right down. And right down to verse 46. 36, sorry. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. He addressed God right. What did he get this? There's a way to approach God. You don't approach God willy-nilly like he's a nobody. You need to approach God right. He's Almighty God. Almighty God. And Elijah reverenced and knew he was. And he approached him because he knew he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he knew the wonderful things he'd done with Abraham. Amen. And said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. In other words, he's saying, show them that Baal and what he's worshiping is false. And there's a real God. Amen. That's stronger than all these other things. Praise God. And that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He knew where he was standing. That's a brave, bold statement, isn't it? That I'm your servant and I've done it at your word. That reminds me when William Branham stood on the platform and he said, I take every spirit under my control in this meeting for the glory of God. And he says, Lord, if I'm your servant, come and confirm it. And God did many times. Come down and he done it. There's no denying it. Amen. And he's still the same tonight. The same God. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Now, there's a key here. You should underline that in your Bible. The spirit of Elijah is a heart-turning spirit. And here he's saying it. Amen. That thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal and let them all escape. Don't say a word to them. They don't read that. He broke this thing up, right? Amen. And they took the ones that escaped and they took them and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. That's like, you know, if it's false, get rid of it. Don't fiddle about it. Isn't that right? Blast it out of it. Amen. Nail it out of it. Clean out of it. Don't muck about with it. And I tell you, he wasn't messing about here. What he done. And here we read in verse 41, the miracle of the rain. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up. Get thee, eat and drink. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. When? When they thought it couldn't happen. Oh, why? They looked at all these false gods and all that what was going on. But Elijah didn't. It never moved him. Everybody else was moved. He wasn't, because he knew God. Amen. This is more than just a wee booklet. There's good wee booklets knowing God. And they're good booklets. But then there's the real experience of it. Knowing him really. The power of his resurrection. Hallelujah! Paul said it didn't come on to you with enticing words of wisdom of man, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Paul knew in the power of his resurrection. Elijah knew the power of God. Look at verse 43. And he said to his servants, go get up now, look forward to the sea, toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Didn't quit the first time. Well, the Lord, I don't think heard me. Well, pray again. Don't think he heard me. Pray again. When will I quit? When he hears you. When did he hear me the first time? Pray till you see it. Amen. Do you know there's times you can pray till you see it? And there's times when you pray once, God can tell you to pray no more. Nobody knows what I'm saying is the truth. Jack Cole prayed for his dying sister. And I'm going to close. Jack Cole prayed for his dying sister. Get afraid to go home and see his sister. She's dying. He had a vision and he saw her in a 4-inch tank, dying. And he got the news she was dying. And he got the taxi. And he started praying in the taxi, and the fellow in the taxi said, "You all right back there?" And when he got finished, he said, "Certainly I'm all right." He said, "I thought there was something wrong with you." And he said, "No, I was only praying." He says, "I've never heard nobody praying like that before." He said, "No, but you never heard nobody desperate." He got him to stop along the road, and he found a wee Methodist church, and he got somebody to go in with him and pray again. And he got down and prayed, and he felt he got the breakthrough, and he got up again. And God spoke to him every time he got up and said, "I've healed her." But he kept praying, and every time he got finished, God said, "I've healed her." And he went in and he seen her, and she's in what they call the iron lung, under the big tent. And his mother says, "Jack, go quick and ring your dad." And Jack Cole went over to the phone box to ring his dad, and the Spirit of God said, "Where are you going?" And he, "I'm going to ring my dad." And he said, "I told you I'd heal her." And he said, "Forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry." And he headed back again. And his mom said, "Jack, did you ring your dad?" And he said, "No, the Lord's healed her." And she sunk down on the step and started crying, Jack Cole's mom. And she said, "Lord, I need you to help me. My daughter's dying and my son's head swam." And his sister woke up and his sister said to the doctor, "You may get me a feed. Make me a fry, I'm starving." And the doctor says, "My goodness," he called the mom and got them all in. And he says, "Well, it was a last dying request. Give her a fry. Nothing like an Ulster fry, sure there's not. It's better than an Irish fry. An Ulster fry. Amen." But you made up a big fry, it was an American fry. Somewhere in America. But you got him the feed anyway. Her the feed. And she ate it and fell asleep. And there was no time, so she woke again. Says, "You know, I'm starving and eating RP." And they said, "Something's wrong here." And they tested her again. And they couldn't find one thing wrong with her. God completely healed her. Amen. God done it. When his own mother said she's dying, he believed it. He doubted it. God still done it. Now I'm going to tell you this evening, some of you might have heard this and you might not have heard it. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you it anyhow. When I was only a wee fella, only a wee boy, and that's when my dad was preaching in Cork and they'd come back home. And I took seriously ill. And my grandmother said to my dad, "You need to go and get the doctor, Willie." And my dad headed up the road in the car and someone said to him, "Where are you going? You're preaching healing, where are you going?" And he turned the car and he came back again. And his mom said, "Willie, did you get the doctor?" And he said, "No, I didn't." And I recovered from that day. And I'm 53 and I'm still here tonight and I'm feeling great. Amen! When I was 9 years of age, they said I'd never walk right. Now my dad was backslid then, and I believe my Uncle John was praying for me. And my dad used to say this to me, I'm going to tell you this tonight, this is the truth. And I used to plague him with this all the time. He said, "You know, there's a man I could take to tell and he'd pray for you and God would heal you when I had a bad knee." And I used to say, "Dad, take me. Take me." But he wouldn't take me, he was backslid. He never took me. And they done the operation of my leg, 4.5 hours in operating table. And several months after, when I got home on crutches, and I went back into the specialist, and he said, "My goodness, you're not still in crutches." And I threw them over my shoulder and run over them. And he went and got all the specialists in the Royal. And they looked at me, and they got somebody else, and they looked at me. And they said, "I'd always walk with a limp. Have you ever seen me limping? 53 and I'm still not living." Amen. God done something because God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Stevie Hodgson was just telling me today, the time the car hit me and knocked me down on the road. I was knocked out unconscious. 7 years of age. I remember waking him up, my dad was carrying me over the hill. They took me to the hospital that night to get me checked out, and Liam McStraw was driving. And on the way to the hospital, a Mini Cooper passed us with flames going out the exhaust, just doing over 100. Tuned up Mini. And the next thing, she was no longer in the road. He crashed her. The two boys crashed her. Do you remember any of this? Going to the hospital. And when they got to where she was, the dad and Neil stopped, they got to where she was. One fella was as far from that car, the road out there, as the far he was from it. The other boy was jammed in her. And they got him out. And I'm telling you, I remember seeing it as a wee boy. There's blood everywhere. They were in an awful shape. And he saved that fella's life. And they got them to the hospital. And they checked me all over and couldn't find nothing wrong with me. That was God. Nobody ever going to tell me no different. Amen. See, when somebody tells me something to discourage me, I go over all these things. Racked the car over 100 miles an hour. It's flipped on the road. Cart upside down. A post missed me by 1 inch. The detective said, one more inch tall and you were dead. Somebody was looking at you. That was God. Stepped out of her and a voice, a presence come down over me, and I wasn't even serving God. And a voice audibly spoke to me and said, if my hand wasn't upon you, you'd be dead. God's hand's on you tonight. No matter what anybody tells you, God's hand's on you. If God removed his hand from any one of us, we wouldn't last a minute. The Lord's hand's on you. The Lord's with you. And he'll hear you when you pray. Be earnest in prayer. God will hear prayer. Many believes it tonight. Let's come and bow our heads this evening. Praise God. The Lord's able. Amen. God is able. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this evening. Lord, that you're never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, when we think of your wonderful servants and wonderful men of God that you've used through the centuries, many of them said that Hebrews 13 and 8 was the theme of their campaigns, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus, we believe you tonight. We believe you for that young man that needs saved. That young woman that needs saved. That man that needs deliverance and healing. We curse every infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We pray for a moving of your spirit. Lord, I'm going in the top of the mulberry trees. The sound of abundance of rain. Lord, we need you to come amongst us. With the mighty move of God. Let the wind of heaven come. Move your spirit, O God, on a dry and thirsty land. You promised you'd do it, Lord. You said you'd pour your spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughter would dream dreams and see visions and prophesy. Heavenly Father, bless every brother, every sister, everyone in this service tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Save her sons, save her daughters, save the aunt, the uncle, the brother, the sister, the niece, the nephew, the little boy, the little girl. Move upon them by your power and your spirit. We ask for the meetings on Sunday. Lord, we pray you'll move in this pulpit. Lord, that the Holy Ghost will be here. That there will be no mucking about, but a real move of God. A sincerity, a punch in the meeting. A conviction in men and women that the power of God will come in these meetings. Lord, that you'll move us, O God, for how can we move ourselves? Lord, stir us, I pray, this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe Elijah rose many a time and shook himself, and the power of God come upon him. Lord, your word says Samson did, that he rose up and the power of God come on him. Cause your anointing to come upon your people. Break every fetters, O God, break them. Break the chains, Lord, and bring deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Take away the wound, the hay, the stone. in your presence. For in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand is pleasures forevermore. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadowing nor turning. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You rose up and you gave gifts unto man. You're seated at the right hand of the Majesty in high tonight, and you ever liveth to make intercession for your saints. Lord, there's people praying in this meeting tonight. Lord, you know the great needs on hearts and lives. People suffering, dying. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll break every work of the devil. I speak against the spirit of death in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, move, I pray. We need you. We need you, Lord. We need you to come and move amongst us. Anoint your anointed. Set captives free. Stir up the gifts within every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, bless the service tonight. Everyone in this house, bless them. May they go from this house and saying, it was good for us to be here, for we met afresh with the Lord. Refresh your people and strengthen them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Give me, Auntie Eiling, a real touch from heaven tonight. Lord, may she know the power of God right now coming on her. Let the power of God go through her. Let the power of God come upon her. I rebuke you, devils and demons, in the name of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus over her, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Over her knee, I plead the blood of Jesus. Let your power come upon her. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray for those this evening that could have come but watched the television. Lord, convict them and speak to them and move them. Stir them up, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Send us a mighty awakening. A mighty awakening from God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Oh, Father, this evening we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord tonight.